This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Invest Talk. It is October 14, 2014, 10-14-14. And we're heard on the radio, 45%. We're heard on the radio. Sometimes I try to talk too fast. 4 to 5 Pacific time every day, Monday through Friday. We stream live on our website, investtalk.com. And, of course, we welcome all the podcast subscribers, which seem to be doing nicely, and that numbers keep growing. I really appreciate that for all you podcast listeners. So we're here to talk about your money. That's what we do every day. And we can be sure we're talking about matters that are important to you because you call the show and drive the discussion. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278 is our number. I'd love to hear about you, your retirement portfolio maybe. Tell us what's in it. What the mix of stocks, bonds, mutual funds. And if you like an opinion about it, well, I do that all the time. I love doing that. We answer questions every day, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5, as I said, Pacific time. It's a 24-hour listen line. You can call it even after that hour, before that hour. And we'll answer the questions when you leave them on the answering machine or device or whatever we call it these days. It's a 24-hour listen line. And, you know, education is our focus. We really want you to learn more. And there's a selfish part of this because when I talk to people that are more knowledgeable, it's easier. It's easier for me to explain things. The more knowledge you have, the better it is for money managers, in my opinion. The better it is. So I want you to get smart. And if you want to manage your money, you still can do it. I had a conversation with a gentleman today who decided to become a client. But that conversation was all about, you know, I didn't even try to be a client. He was trying to figure out what he should do with his money, you know, and how much risk should he take. And, you know, we talked about him taking very little risk in his situation. So I don't try to talk you into anything. And you need to fit your lifestyle with your investments. I talk about risk all the time. Many folks have tried our new risk analysis tool on investtalk.com. And we talk about it, we talk about risk, it's usually in relationship to buying and selling decisions in your stock portfolio. How is your portfolio constructed? Aggressive or conservative or someplace in between? And this risk tool that we have, this risk analysis tool, tells you how much risk you are comfortable with. It doesn't tell you what your portfolio is risky or not. It tells us how much risk you are comfortable with, then I can put in your portfolio and tell you if it matches up. But you have to send me a portfolio and I'll put it in for you. It's all. You know, no one's going to see it, just you and me. But, you know, it really helps with, to understand yourself. It really helps. And then understand how you're investing. Anyways, we talk about it all the time, risk, how to manage it. And maybe there's a different way you should think about risk. Charles Robot, who is Vice President of American Association of Individual Investors, wrote a piece in the Wall Street Journal, about risk. And he's talking about it in a different sense. What is tough for us humans, is to wrap our heads around risk from the standpoint of longevity. In other words, what is the possibility of outliving your savings? By the way, my risk analysis tool can produce what we call a retirement map and see how much of the odds are that you will run out of money or not. We can still do that. All that can, it's free that we can do. So risk and versus running out of money. And that's what you really should be focused on. Am I going to have enough money in retirement? And I have some tools free to help you. Now, don't misunderstand me. These are free, and I'll do it for absolutely free with no obligations. But, of course, you know, my wish is, of course, I want to manage your money, but I don't have to. I still provide this service for free. Figure out how much risk you're comfortable with, how much risk your portfolio has, and then give you a retirement map. How much money, what's your age, How much money are you going to withdraw, and how much money are you going to save for how many years? And then I can do the math, and it's really fast. It shows you a nice little graph if you run out. Probability of running out, 95% of not running out of probability is your goal. That's the goal. 95% of not running out of my money, and we can find that out. Go to start that process. It's not a long process. Go to our website and take the risk analysis short questionnaire. It's like 3 or 5 questions. Very simple. I don't need all your information or anything like that. Very simple. Now, Invest Talks, me and you talk to me. You can talk to me live, 4 to 5 Pacific time, right now, or you can go to investtalk.com and you can send me an email. You can do all kinds of things, but you can talk to me live. And you can call me in between the live program, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on the same number, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve and Justin. This is Chris from Washington, D.C. Last week on the show, you mentioned that when the indices are dropping below their 200-day moving averages, that's a sign of a bear market. I wondered, is that when you're looking at a daily, weekly, monthly, or even yearly chart? Because the 200-day moving average looks different to me when I change between those chart time frames. Also, in order for a bear market to be official, I guess, does it need to affect all the indices at the same time? Or can it just be the S&P 500 and that's enough to signal a bear market? Thanks a lot. I appreciate your show.
Now, that's a very good question. And that's going to be one of my talking points today. Is this a real correction or just a shakeout? Or are we in a bear market? And I did mention last week in some of my writings that a bear market, there are several definitions. One of the definitions is when the prices of the major indices break below the 200-day moving average. Now, 200-day moving average means 200 days, because you mentioned weeks, and that would be a 200-week moving average or a 200-month moving average. No, we're talking about a daily 200-day moving average over a one-year period, and mathematically it's calculated that 200-day moving average, and we did break below that. So are we in a bear market? Not necessarily, because there's other components that describe a bear market. Another one of those components is a market that is down 20% or more from its high. We're only down like 6%. That's not much. Yeah, so we can't say we're really in a bear market, even though it does meet the classic definition below 200-day moving average. And yes, almost all indices should be below that 200-day moving average to be described as a bear market, and guess what? They are. So are we in a bear market? Well, it's not enough downsides yet. Really. Is it the beginning of a bear market? Could be. Or it could be just another correction. Couldn't it? This doesn't feel like it because there's a lot more volatility in this, and there's a lot of other signs, and we're going to talk about that in my talking points today. In less than 3 weeks, a big change is nearly certain for all investors. Few will be surprised, but some may be a bit nervous. What's next for the funds? What's next for funds when the Fed stops buying bonds? Remember, QE is ending by the end of the month. That's one of our talking points today. I'm also going to talk about spec homes. Spec homes, if you're in real estate, you know what I'm talking about. Spec homes. Where do you think the most expensive spec homes are? $131 a square foot. Where do you think they are? You think they're in Southern California? Northern California? They're not even in California. So we're going to talk about that. How to pay off a mortgage. See how you got a theme here, paying off mortgages, spec homes, a little theme going there. Didn't really mean to do that, but you know, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and I want to bring it up again because it's going to expire, this benefit to you, and this is benefiting the average person out there. Not corporations, not the poor, the average guy. You can save money on your mortgage. And then, is this a real correction? Or is it just a shakeout of nervous hands? Or are we in a bear market? And that was what the guy called about. I want to talk about that a little bit more. I think it's kind of important. It's kind of important because a bear market could be very painful. If it's just a correction, most people can just ride it through and not worry about it. But is it just a correction? Why are we having this when the economic numbers look pretty darn good? Earnings are coming in pretty good. What's behind it? I think it's something we should explore a little bit. What happened to the market today? Well, it was up most of the day. Everybody was happy. The market was making recovery. It didn't that way. What we've been seeing is the market sells off at the end of the day. Boy, that's very nervous investors out there. So the Dow ended up being down 6%. 6 points, I'm sorry. Down 6 points. The NASDAQ was up 13 points, and the S&P was up 3. So the NASDAQ and S&P were up a little bit, and the Dow was down a little bit. But that really didn't tell the story of the day. It really did not, because the market was up fairly strong, over 100 points from the Dow during the day. And it didn't give up till the end of the last hour to give up. One thing, have you noticed the price of oil? Have you noticed the price of oil? I mean, it's down to $81 a barrel. 81. Do you remember a few years ago when someone called, some very smart someone called for $145 a barrel? Not going to happen. Just not. It didn't happen. Today, and the oil has been pretty high for most of this year, surprising me. Up in the 90s, high in the 90s, mid and high 90s. And we have a glut of oil. I wrote in January to my clients, I said, oil probably is going to be below 90 for this year. And we didn't get below 90 until a month or two ago. But oil is now $81 a barrel. Are we going to be sitting below 70? And why is that happening? We have a glut of oil. And we have economies that are not doing so great. Europe, China is slowing down its growth. Europe may be falling into recession. We're the only economy that looks pretty good. But my question to you, and when we get to my real, is this a correction shakeout or a bear market? When I get to that section, my question to you, can we not be affected by Europe going into recession and China slowing down? Can we not be affected by them? And we are going to be affected by them. We have to be affected. But how much? Will it pull us down to a recession? That's really an important question. 888-99-CHART. Time to give me a call. There's a new way to get into the conversation on InvestSoc. Answer our Twitter poll. Here's our question this week. Do you believe the market will be up or down by the end of the year? Up or down for the year by the end of the year? Send it via Twitter now at InvestTalk. That's InvestTalk with two T's, at InvestTalk with two T's. You can get your question to us too, same way, or you can try the old-fashioned way by calling 888-99-CHART.
This tool measures your capacity for risk. Try our free risk analyzer. It can tell you if you match up with your retirement portfolio. Try it out. It takes just about 3 minutes. It's there for you on investtalk.com.
Okay, so we know the Fed is probably going to end, 99% chance of ending QE by the end of this month, October. QE. Remember, it was up at $85 billion per month, spending half of it on buying mortgages, the other half buying treasuries. Did that for several years, and now we're going to be down to zero. And they didn't want to cut it off like they did QE1 and QE2 and Operation Twist. This was QE3 we're in now. We're ending now. They didn't want to cut it off, okay, like that, because after QE1, the market fell. After QE2, the market fell. After Operation Twist, remember, these things just ended. They had a life and they ended. Each one of them, the market fell. So they wanted to prepare everybody, hoping it would not fall. But we are getting a lot of, it's starting to fall, fell 6% from its recent high, at least for the S&P 500 and the Dow. And the question is, when it ends, will it be any different? Will it continue to fall, stop falling? No one really knows the answer to that. But we're going to see and continue to see more volatility. And I don't think that's going to stop. Volatility is going to remain with us. But what should we do about it? And, you know, there's not a lot we can do about it. The real question will be down the road is when will the Fed start actually raising rates? I mean, still, even cutting out QE3, stop buying, we're still, the Fed is still very accommodative with very low interest rates, keeping them really low. And they don't, when do they plan on start raising those interest rates? That's important. Most people think it'll be late 2015. I'm not convinced of that, by the way. I will say this. There may not be a rise in interest rates in 2015. May not be. Especially if the market doesn't do very well. How to track trends in the market. What tools can really help you and the average person? I'm here for you at 888-99-CHART.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Coming up on the next Invest Talk, index funds are winning big. But there's still a small place for stock pros in your portfolio. The incredible shrinking mutual fund manager. That's our talking point for Wednesday, October 15th. We hope you can listen to that podcast. If you have a question for Steve or Justin, remember you can ask it anytime at 888-99-CHART. They'll answer it on the next podcast. Coming up this hour on InvestTalk 101, what are the differences between 401ks and IRAs? That's coming up in the next half hour on InvestTalk 101. 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Jack in Oceanside. How you doing, Jack?
Hey, have you ever had a pension fund as a client?
No.
Okay. Have you been following the scandal with the San Diego County Pension Fund?
I have read just bits about it. I really haven't delved into it. I know that there's issues, but and that's not uncommon for pension funds, especially public pension funds, to have issues. They are
auditioning investment firms to replace the one that they have.
Well, the problem with that, Jack, is for a little guy like me, is they have the ERISA rules there, and they have so many hurdles that you have to jump over that I'm not interested in, doing all this administrative work. I just want to manage money. I don't want to be, reporting every which way, 10 different ways. And they just have a massive amount of background paperwork. They're not going to ever get quality managers. They'll get the big boys.
Let me just say briefly how they've invested the money, and so far they have voted to keep the investment firm. So they changed the investment strategy a few months ago, and they've allowed the investment firm to take the $10 billion in the fund, and they now have $22 billion in exposure. Most of it is invested in synthetic derivatives, and they have to keep half of the fund, $5 billion, in cash, which they use as collateral and also as kind of like a day trader. They're in and out of the market all the time. They're paying the investment firm $10 million, but yet the county is paying $100 million in investment fees. Because I guess some of the investments they're picking is they also are generating investment fees. So $100 million in investment fees, $22 billion all in synthetic derivatives on a $10 billion actual cash value.
That's not very smart.
Is that not a prescription for disaster?
Yeah, I think so. They're using leverage to try to get better returns. And we all saw what leverage did in 2008, did we not? So
yeah,
especially pension funds. See, to me, pension funds, you should be conservative with them, not aggressive.
Well, that's why I was hoping you'd audition for the job, buddy.
No, I wouldn't, but I tell you what, I would be much more conservative. I would never be on margin, never leverage, not a pension fund. Remember, these are people's retirement they're screwing around with. That's stupid.
Well, I know, but listen, if they bankrupt the fund, The taxpayers are on the hook, and the only way that they could get out of paying the benefits is for the county to declare bankruptcy.
Exactly. Yeah,
and that's what they're risking.
That's exactly what they are risking. You're exactly right, Jack. Appreciate the call. Thank you. It is bad business. For a money manager to hear that, and these are pension funds. And, you know, they have all these rules and regulations and massive, and here they do stuff like that. That's not me. I would never do that with a pension fund. I would not. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Spec homes. Where do you think the most expensive spec homes are, by the way? About $131 square foot in 2013. That's 52% higher than the median price, by the way, that square foot cost. And, if, you know, a spec home is where a builder builds a very nice house and sells one, usually one or two or just a few at a time. They speculate. That's why it's called a spec home, speculate. The most expensive place is not in California. It's not. It's on the East Coast. It's in the Northeast. It's New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. That's where the highest costs are. Why? Because that's where some of the highest wages are, and there's a lot of, you know, there's a demand for high-end products in the house. That's why. Spec homes. Now, that actually is, you know, supportive of real estate in general. But have you noticed that prices have been coming down? I'm talking about here in California. Prices have been softening. Nothing dramatic. But also, interest rates are coming down because of the market and fears and all that stuff. Interest rates have been coming down. Mortgage rates, I'm talking about. That's good, too, for the mortgage industry. But why would that happen? Demand has gone down, I think. I think demand has fallen off. So it's kind of, I'm not worried about it. I do think real estate in California, maybe not in the Bay Area where, you know, the high-tech, you know, the Silicon Valley issues, but the rest of California, I think you're going to see weakness, but nothing dramatic, just weakness. Weakness meaning prices have probably topped for the time being, and they might go sideways to down a little bit, but I don't see a collapse unless... unless we go into recession. And then, of course, prices will fall. That's what you're worried about. And, you know, we got to keep an eye on our foreclosure rates. We got to keep an eye on our supplies of home, unsold homes. We got, you know, keep an eye on those numbers, builder sentiment, you know, what do they think? Just keep an eye on all that going forward over the next few months, especially over the winter months when the housing market is usually weaker. Maybe we're going to get back to a normal cycle where the winter months are weaker for housing in California and the summer months are stronger. Maybe that's what we'll see. The spaces are filling up for our San Jose Day. I'll be in San Jose on October 22nd. I do a very limited number of these appointments to sit down with clients and prospective clients, look at portfolios, that kind of thing. To make an appointment, just go to investtalk.com.
This is the Tuesday, October 14th edition of Invest Talk with portfolio manager Steve Peasley. Index funds are winning big, but there's still a small place for stock pros in your portfolio. The incredible shrinking mutual fund manager. That's our talking point on the next Invest Talk. Please join us then. There's still plenty of time to get in touch today. 888-99-CHART is how to get through to Steve right now.
So let's try to catch up on our 24-hour listener line. Here's a question that came in between programs at the same number, 888-992-4278. Tony called from San Diego.
Like a show, just wanted to get your opinion on ABC, stock symbol ABC, to see if this is a buying opportunity. I appreciate your thoughts on that. Thank you very much.
ABC is AmerisourceBergen Corporation, distributes brand name and generic drugs over-the-counter, healthcare products, home health supplies. It's pretty big, $17 billion company, so that'd be a large cap. It's growing nicely. It's growing its sales in the 30% plus range over the last four quarters actually. And it's going to make $3.90 this year, up 22%, and $4.37 next year, another 12%. The problem is it's a little expensive still. It's a $76.73 stock. It deserves to be a little expensive because of those numbers. But if you're waiting for a bargain, it hasn't come down enough to be a bargain. And it's been holding up quite well. So what is it worth? Well, at those kind of growth rates, I would not hesitate it's worth right about $75, $80 where it is. That's where it is. Doesn't pay a great dividend, 1.2%. Has a little bit of debt. So the question is this is where you buy it? If it was, for myself, I think you want to wait for either a pullback. I would like to see it pick it up in the low 70s, if possible, and maybe down in the mid 60s. It's been there last April. It was in that level. That would be a great place to buy it because the numbers, if they stay healthy like they are, this is great. Or you wait till it breaks out, and the breakout point is, let me see, I mean, I'm going to give you a clear breakout point. If it breaks out above, what's that number, $78.30. If it breaks up above that, then it probably is going to move up again some more. I wouldn't buy it here. It's kind of going sideways, so it's either going to break down or break up from here. So you want to wait for a breakdown to buy it cheaper, or you want it to break out and say, you know, it's going higher. Price, it's right at its fair value, right where it is, in my opinion. Okay, so it's not a bargain. Good company, though. Very good company. And that's ABC, is the symbol, American Source Bergen Corporation. And out of Pennsylvania, by the way. Good company. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Have you heard of the HEART program? You probably heard it on the radio, being advertised maybe. This is the home refinance program, home affordable refinance program, HARP, home affordable refinance program. What this is designed for, and this is going to expire a year from now, December of 2015. Okay, so you got a year. But you know how it takes time to, you know, it takes several, 30 to 60 days to refinance a house. And you can do 80 to 125% loan to value. Okay, but this is one of the little things you have to have. You have to be current on your mortgage right now. You can't be like not paying your mortgage. It's be current. This program saves on average about $345 a month. Now, you want to go find a cheap rate, the cheapest rate for this HARP program? Go to Rate Marketplace. Rate, R-A-T-E, Marketplace, no space, .com. It's 100% free. They can check out different rates. And this is the time to do it. It really is. Interest rates have come down a little bit. You got to do this. Why wouldn't you want to save that kind of money per month? And it's for the average guy. It's not for, you know, the low income. It's not for the wealthy. You know, it's for the average person, especially in California, you know, where the prices are fairly high. You can refinance a mortgage if you are up to date. There's probably other rules, but that's the main one. Okay? Vestalk 101, the difference between 401k and an IRA. The difference between a 401k and IRA. We throw around all these terms, right? 401k. Name for the section of the tax code that discusses it. 401k. It is an employer-based plan. While an IRA is an individual-based plan. You do it by person. Where a 401k is offered by your employer. Now, if you want, you can take distributions from these plans beginning at age 59 and a half. Please don't do so. Keep putting money in it. Keep pumping it. You got to keep it going. A traditional IRA and 401k, you are required to start taking minimum distributions. There's a certain amount you have to take at age 70 and a half. The year you turn age 70 and a half, that's the year you have to start taking distributions from a 401k and an IRA. Now, you also hear me talking about Roth IRAs, and now there is Roth 401ks. That's a wholly different plan, and it has different rules. Okay, with a traditional IRA, the money you contribute is not taxed. It's deducted from your adjusted gross income the year you put it in the IRA. It gets deducted, so you don't have to pay income tax on that money. You put it in a regular IRA or a regular 401k. The taxes are paid when you start withdrawing the money. And that's one of the reasons why the federal government wants to force you to take it out at 7.5. Start making you take it out so they can get their tax dollars on that money. With a Roth IRA, you pay taxes. It's with after-tax money putting it in. In other words, you've already paid taxes on it. After your adjusted gross income, then you put the money in. But all the growth that you have, and when you start taking it out, you don't have to pay any taxes. And it's one of the reasons why there is no minimum required distribution at 70.5. Because the government's not getting any taxes. Now, why they're changing that, I know the new Obama budget changes that, wants to force you to take it out 70.5 with even the Roth. So I'm not sure why. Okay? So how much can you contribute? And what about loans and beneficiaries, that kind of stuff? Well, we'll have to cover that next time on the next InvestTalk 101. And that's InvestTalk 101. If you have a question about IRA or 401ks, you should know where to call. 888-99-CHART. Or you can ask me online. Click on the Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com. Or send a message on via Twitter. Our address is at InvestTalk.
This tool measures your capacity for risk. Try our free risk analyzer. It can tell you if you match up with your retirement portfolio. Try it out. It takes just about 3 minutes. It's there for you on investtalk.com.
Hi, thank you very much for your show. This is Oscar. Appreciated everything you do. Just wondering if you can tell me what you think about CHRW, that's C.H. Robinson Worldwide, Inc., if you would buy it and at what price. Thank you very much. I'm thinking about buying it. Thank you.
Actually, I like the company. It's a good company in a good business sector. C.H. Robinson Worldwide, CHRW, not a well-known company. It's a $9.6 billion company, but it's not well-known. And it provides freight transportation services and logistics solutions to companies in various industries. Freight transportation services and logistics solutions. It has consistently made money, consistently grown its money, and it's growing about 11-12% earnings year over year. Sales have fallen from the mid-teens to the high single digits, 5-8% in sales. Still growing, though. The issue is, like many stocks, it's still kind of pricey. I mean, they're going to make $3.30 next year. It's a $65 stock, so that's a 20 P.E. Now, 5 years average P.E. of this company, 18 to 35. So 20 is not too bad, but I think even over the last 5 years, that's a little pricey, 18 to 35 P.E. Return on equity is excellent. This is one of the reasons. The 34% return on equity is very good. Consistently growth in sales, consistently growth in earnings, pays a 2.1% dividend, so it gets to be pricey. What is it really worth, in my opinion? Well, I'm going to say it's worth about $60 or so, and it's at $63, $64. So it's not super overpriced because it's coming off a $68 price, so it's starting to come down a little bit. CHRW, I like what they do. I like the company. Good, solid company. Good return on equity. That's always excellent at 34%. That's really good. 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to James in San Francisco. How you doing, James?
Oh, hi, Steve. I'm thinking about accumulating some ExxonMobil. I was wondering if it's like catching a falling knife now, or is it a good time to start accumulating?
Well, I like ExxonMobil a lot over the long haul. This is one of those companies that you want as a core holding. And the PE is now 12, and it's coming down. The five-year average PE, the low is 8 and the high is 16. So the PE is coming down because the price has come down. It was $104 two or three months ago, and now it's 90. And I think you're still a bit early, James, but I would definitely want to accumulate ExxonMobil. They're the largest natural gas producer in the United States. I don't know if you knew that. They are. And I think that's really a plus long term for ExxonMobil, and they're one of the world's largest companies, $386 billion. And it pays a 3% dividend. So you definitely want to accumulate this. And if you bought a little bit here, it would not hurt my feelings, but I still think it's coming down. Until I see it start turning up, you know, and give it a week or two, this is not something you have to rush into, James. ExxonMobil is not going away. You know, it's as good as all. But I think you're right in thinking about where should I buy this? Where is a good price? I think you want to wait a little bit longer. You want to make sure that the shakeout is in, because oil prices are still coming down, you know?
Yeah.
So just be patient. But, yeah, I do think you want to accumulate this. Yes. Okay?
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, James. Appreciate the call. Yeah, it might stop right here about $90. I could see easily stopping here. Looks like there's support there. But then there's also support about $85. So, you know, I want to see where it holds support before I'm a buyer of it. I really do. But I do like it. Is this a real correction, or is it just a head fake, or are we moving to a bear market? And I know that everybody is asking that question. I know everybody is. So I told you early in the show that all the indices are below their 200-day moving averages now, and that's the 200-day moving average, so they're below their moving averages. The S&P is still higher than up for the year. The Russell 2000 small caps are down for the year. The Dow is up for the year, but not a lot. They're getting closer and closer to the flat line. So it's not been a very good year. And a vast majority of stocks are down for the year. I'm going to say vast majority. I'm sorry. 40% or so are down for the year. So it's not the vast majority of stocks are down for the year. But there is a huge amount that are down for the year for being the indexes being up, except for the Russell 2000. Now, what are the things that we look for besides being below the 200-day moving average? A bear market is usually described as a 20% plus fall from its high. We're only down 6. We've been 6%. 6% is, we've seen 6% corrections for a couple of years now. 6, 7. We just haven't seen the 10%. The last time we saw a 10% or more correction was in summer of 2011. It was 19%, and that still didn't qualify as a bear market. But we are below our moving averages. We do have issues. Transportation is below its 200-day moving average. That's not good. Junk bonds have fallen sharply. That's usually not a good indicator. When people are getting out of junk bonds, it means they're getting very, very nervous with risk. They're avoiding risk, and they're going to the quality bonds, even though they're not paying much dividends. And you can see that because the yields on those quality bonds are coming down. And you can take a look at the junk bonds using the ETF JNCARE. The dollar has risen, but recently is starting to move sideways down a little bit. Gold prices are moving up. All those things kind of make it nervous. Now, if you look, besides looking at the technicals, you also want to look at the fundamentals of what's driving this. One of the main fundamentals driving this, I think, is the cutting back of QE that is going to be gone by the end of this month. That's making, you can see the volatility up and down, mostly on the downside, but making investors very nervous because now they're speculating when interest rates are going to go up. And when interest rates go up, investors don't like that. They don't like that. But also, they're looking around and seeing that the EU looks like it's fallen into recession. They're seeing China likely not to hit their goal of 7.5% GDP growth this year. Many experts are saying it'll be below 7%, maybe even in the 6% area range. That's not good. And then you throw on top of that, good old Ebola. It's on everybody's mind, all the news shows. What is it going to do? Is it going to destroy our economy? Is it going to hurt anything other than, you know, a lot of people dying and how afraid should we be? That kind of issue, just on everybody's mind. And then you throw on top of that, earnings look pretty good coming out so far this quarter, but no one's really paying attention to them. No one's listening to the earnings reports. They see it. they initially look at it, but then doesn't make them feel happy. We're closing on our last segment of the day, everybody. Do you have a question about one of our more of our topics? You can call me. Call 888-99-CHART.
Now is a good time to call InvestTalk. What's your question? 888-99-CHART is how to reach InvestTalk right now.
Thanks for being a podcast subscriber, and we do want to hear your investing experiences. We've all grown over the years through our experiences, good and bad. You get to be anonymous, and the rest of us will enjoy knowing that we're not the only one to make a turn when maybe we should have gone straight. So we hope you'll join us on the podcast. Thanks for listening.
This is InvestTalk, more free advice from the archives. The stock market is filled with individuals who know the price of everything, but the value of nothing. Philip Fisher. We're glad you value this hour with us. Once again, here's Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley.
InvestTalk is live 4 to 5 Pacific time every day, and I'd love to talk to you. 888-99-CHART is the number to call, and you can call right now or anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and get your answer on the next program.
Yeah, I have a question on, you know, I've been hearing about the inevitable rise in interest rates for quite some time now. And, you know, with interest rates going up, the expectation is that bond prices will fall. And my question is, you know, what does someone do if they have 40% of their, you know, asset allocation in bonds and bond funds? Do you just recommend short duration bond funds, or would you prefer CDs, or what other options are available?
Well, besides short duration bond funds, you can get a floating rate bond fund. In other words, the rates float up and down depending on what interest rates are. And you know, interest rates are going to be moved very slow. It's not going to be a straight up shot. I think they're going to stay low for a long time. They'll just slowly creep up, and we've seen it slowly creep up. As I said, last May a year ago. And I only remember this because I checked. Mortgage rates are at 3.35%, 30-year fixed. Now they're at 4%. But they got as high as 4.25%. And now they're back down to 4. So, see, it's going to move like that. It's very slow. So, and what you're seeing is a rotation out of junk bonds and into higher quality bonds. And that's one of the reasons why interest rates are coming down. People are not accepting the low yields in junk, which they should never have. It's really risky. So that's what's going on, and your alternative is we like, in our managed, in our income, we buy the actual bonds and hold them to maturity, so they always go back to par. Whereas you buy a bond fund, it never goes to par because they keep reinvesting. So they are very much subject to interest rates. Well, all bonds are subject to interest rates, but if you hold on to them, buy them at par, and you'll get your par money back. In between the time you're holding it, it goes up and up and down. You get the yield, whatever that is. They go up and down in value, but you don't care if you just hold on to it. It goes back to par. I had an email recently. A caller from Texas had a question about where he could find a 5-year PE range. And this Julian left me an email and told me where it could be found. And she said she found it on Morningstar by doing a stock quote search and then clicking on the valuation tab. You get a table containing current PE, price to book, price to sales, those kinds of things. And those are compared to the industry average, current S&P, and the 5-year average of the stock search. Just thought I'd pass that along. Okay, so there's where you can find it. On Morningstar. Someone, you know, asked on the show, and I said, well, there's somewhere out there on the internet. I'm not sure where. I buy it with data for our company. You know, we buy it. Now, we've seen oil prices fallen down to $81, $82 a barrel. Will this crater or crush the shale oil producers? And surprisingly, at $80 a barrel, no. No, it's still high enough. There's only about 4 or 5% of the oil producers out there, the high-cost oil producers, where $80 a barrel affect them and cost, start making a break-even or lose money. Now, if it goes to the 70s, it's a different story. But one of the reasons why it's not going to hurt or crush the shale producers is because A lot of their cost is acquisition costs, the land, you know, getting the rights to drill oil on the land. And that cost has already been spent. They've been locking up as much as they can, all these oil, shale oil producers. So that cost is already in the pipeline. They've already paid it. So now it's a question of getting the oil out and shipping it. And that they've already spent all that cost. So they're definitely going to go through with their plans. And they should still, they should be able to still make money. So I don't think, you know, I don't think it's going to crush them. Now, all bets are off if you see oil falling much below $80 a barrel. Then you're talking about, that could be serious damage. What happens is, just like any economics 101, supply and demand. The demand is down, especially here in the United States for gasoline. Demand is down. Been down for several years. Oil demand worldwide is very timid, very muted, because China's slowing and the EU looks like it's going to recession. So demand is down. So supply is up. That will all equal out. Supply will start to shrink. Demand doesn't pick back up. Before we close for the hour, InvestTalk insiders receive weekly advisories on important investing topics along with free access to our library of webinars and much more. Sign up for the free. You can do it for free on InvestTalk.com. That's the insider, InvestTalk Insider. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Pisa. On behalf of Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, we thank you for listening and we hope you'll join us again on the next InvestTalk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.